think so. Yes. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to see all your smiling Christian faces. Isn't that right? Paul told us to rejoice, and I say again, rejoice. Sis Juanita, I forgot. It's good to see you, sis. I tell you what, we miss you every service. Anytime anyone misses, we've been missing this guy too here. Little one that comes with her sometimes, you know. It's good to see each one here, though. The rest of you that come here all the time, I appreciate you coming.
Amen.
It's good to see you. Sometimes we leave you out maybe and don't introduce you in specifically, but we sure appreciate any pastor appreciates somebody that loves the Lord and is there to serve Him. So we love you today. I'm glad to see the presence of God come in the place. I don't know if you felt Him as I have, but I'm expecting great things today. How many wants their cup filled by the Lord?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Let's sing that. It's key of G, 139. If you don't know it, just fill my cup. While Brother Nathan come out on this. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it. Worship now. Lift it up, Lord, with all your heart. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make. Oh, sing it once more with all your heart. Every eye closed, every hand raised. Oh, here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirst of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Time unto Him. Yes, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Have you come thirsty today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. It's so good to be here again. And familiar faces, and friendly faces, and some new faces. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just wonderful. I'm going to go right to the Word so we can have you seated in Colossians chapter 1. Amen. Appreciate the invitation from Brother Andrew. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Paul speaking of the church now, he says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Previously hidden truth. Amen.
Right.
to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery.
Yes, sir.
This is what it's all about, friends. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you,
yes,
the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Whom we preach. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Your word is true, Lord. Your word is vindicated. You've proved it to be true time and time again, Father. And so we're thankful, Father, that we're not feeding from a dead letter this morning, but from a real and living word, Father, that can impact our lives, Father. It can change us. It can lift us up, Father. It can empower us, Father. And it's our glory, Lord. And we just thank you for it. Thank you for these lovely people, Father. I love them with all my heart, Father, if they've sacrificed to come out. Lord, I'm just thankful that you're a loving Father, Lord, and you glory and you pleasure in feeding your children, Father. So it doesn't really matter the minister, the man that would stand before them, Father, but it's you, Lord, that'll come, Lord, and you're already here in your presence, Father, to feed us, Father, to edify us, Lord, to comfort, Lord, those who need comforting, to heal those who need healing, Father. You're our all in all, Father, and your word is true, and we love you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, we dedicate this service to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just want to speak a little thought this morning on the hope of glory.
Yes, sir.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
God will be with us. And just want to testify a little bit before we begin that last time I was here, I believe, I asked the saints to pray for me for a situation with my job. And I had it on my heart to move down closer to the church there in Bluffton. But it was a little tricky to get out of my job and find a new job that was closer and house and all that. It was a bit of a stressful time, but I just want to thank you for your prayers. In about the matter of a month, I found a wonderful new job. We moved into a new house. God's totally just brought everything together, you know, and one step at a time, everything was right there where we needed it. So we're just thankful for the Lord. He takes care of his own. And we have a peace there that we just didn't have before. Really at rest. All is well. Amen. So we just believe we're in the will of the Lord, and that's a comfort. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. So I just thank you for that. And we're just happy. Amen. We're happy. Brother Andrew, I'm getting this marriage thing figured out. Finally, you know. Happy wife, happy life, right? You know, you learn how to, she had her heart set on a dog. I didn't want a dog. So we compromised and we got a dog. And so it's a little snotty-nosed poodle, Brother Andrew. Pray for me. But God is good to us, and we're happy.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We are very happy. So let's turn to Romans, if you would, chapter 1. And I just got a really lengthy scripture reading here this morning. All right. But I want to bring this out here on this hope of glory, the hope of glory. And, you know, Romans is a book of fundamentals. It's a book of doctrine, and in the book of Romans, Paul takes all the fundamental doctrines of the faith, and he lays them out just one after the other.
Amen.
All right, but here in Romans chapter 1, here's where he starts us out. See, Paul's he takes a man, and he starts him out just showing how low he is, right? So takes him right to the fall of man, shows man how lowly his condition is. That's where he starts out in the book of Romans. Then he comes up to Romans 8, where he's going to lift man up, and man finds himself glorified through Christ. Amen.
Yes,
but here's where we got to start. Here's this first doctrine is the fallen state of man. So let's just read about it a little bit. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. And Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth but in unrighteousness."
Sure.
Amen. They have the truth.
Right.
But in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. See, man is blessed because God didn't create man and then just leave him to go about his own business, but God has revealed himself to man. God has given man truth. He showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Amen. You can look out, you just look at this world and its order. And its beauty and the mechanics of it, and you know look up at the stars, and that's why the Bible says it's a fool that saith in his heart that there is no God, amen.
Right.
Because the heavens declare the glory of God. You can look at creation and see that there is a God, amen. And Paul says this, that the invisible things of God are clearly seen, things that were invisible in God's heart. right? Things that about God's nature and about His character that He reveals them. He's revealed them to us in a way that we can interact with Him, right? You can look at the stars and see that God is glorious, and you can look at the atoms and see that God's a God of order, and He reveals Himself through these things, right? The secret things of Him are clearly seen, even in just the creation of the world. Amen. We have more than that. We have a Word. Amen. And being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that man is without excuse.
That's right.
He's without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. My, we ought to be thankful. Amen. But become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened.
Come on, brother.
It's the fall of man. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Amen. That's a picture of our day. Amen. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Amen. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Amen. This is the same man that was created, and where in the Garden of Eden, God spoke lip to ear to His children.
Yeah, that's right.
He came down and He walked with them and He talked and He revealed Himself to him. And how quickly man fell, amen, after the fall, because of unbelief, man came to such a low state so quickly to where he'd even makes a wooden statue of some animal or something and worship that in defiance, right in the face of the uncorruptible God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why it says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served that's the creation, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Amen. You know, there's a popular doctrine nowadays, and I couldn't believe it when I had heard it, but there are people who say that the Bible doesn't really condemn homosexuality. They say the only place you'll find it is in the Old Testament, and that there it's only speaking about the priesthood. So they say only the priesthood is forbidden. Amen. But I don't know what Bible they're reading, because right here in the New Testament, Paul is laying it down that it's an unrighteousness for man to work, amen, unseemly with one another. And that's just the Word. Amen. I just believe it, and I try to live by it. Everyone's free. They're on their own free moral agency. But I'll stick with the Word.
Amen.
Amen. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Look how man has fallen. Man's not even comfortable, amen, with the knowledge of God.
That's
amen.
Right.
That just the thought of God, the thought of a God that's above him and has power over him, has dominion over the earth, it makes man uncomfortable.
Yeah,
amen.
He
doesn't want, that's why there's this subconscious desire in man to get rid of this God, because then, you know why? Because then man can live after his own lusts, and there's nothing to answer to. Amen. They want life without consequence. Amen.
Come on,
amen.
Sure.
That's just the truth.
Yes.
Amen. And they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Right.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. Amen. Paul doesn't give you a leg to stand on. Paul takes this great human race, shows their wickedness. He shows how they've fallen. He shows the foolishness of man in a very clear way. Amen. There's the how man is so fallen. I tell you, you take the Holy Ghost out of a man, you take the Spirit of God out of man, he's nothing more. He's no better than a beast. Amen. Amen. He's just he's just a well-dressed ape is all man is. Amen. Without God. Amen. Because there's lust in man for evil. Amen. Because he's in a fallen state. There's some, he's wicked. He's born into sin. He's shaped into iniquity. Amen. Amen. And, oh my. And, And you know, that's why people don't like this word, because this word shows them where they are. It shows what they were born into, and it makes them uncomfortable to know. But see, and that's why they say that the religion, it's all shame and guilt, you know, and it's all just to make you feel bad and to get control over you. Amen. But see, if you would just, if you'd read a little farther in the book of Romans, amen, God will take you out of that shame and guilt, amen, and bring you into a glory, amen, that this world can't offer, and none of the lusts of the flesh can offer, amen, the glory that we have in this word. Amen. Yes. Amen. So we just want to keep going beyond this now. Chapter 2, we're going to go a little further. Amen. Paul says, therefore, after all this list of things, these characteristics of man, these attributes of man, this fallen state of man, he says, you're without excuse. That's right. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, you condemn yourself.
Right.
Amen. You judge another, you're just condemning yourself, because you that judge, you do the same things. Amen. Because we're all born into the same state. Amen.
Yes,
amen. Let's come down to verse 11. He says, there's no respect of persons with God.
Right.
There is no, God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if where you are in society, how religious you are, how good you are at keeping the list of rules or any of those things. All those things are fine. It's good that we should try to do good things, amen. But no matter what, amen, you can't get away from the fact that we're born into this fallen state.
Right.
Amen. We're born in this fallen state.
Amen.
Amen. So there's no respect of persons with God. With God, we all stand in the same condition. Amen.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Except by His grace.
Amen.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Amen. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Right.
Amen. All right. Don't get too depressed. We're going to verse 3. Chapter 3 now. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Paul's gonna focus this down a little bit. See, he's not just railing against man, and he's not just trying to tell you what a bad person you are and how we're all just awful. Amen. Because we are all just awful in our flesh. Amen. But he's got a point here. Here's what I love. Here's what I love about Paul bringing out the fallen state of man. But when Paul talks about this, amen, when he talks about this, here's the angle that he's coming from to say that this isn't how man was meant to be. Amen. It was not so from the beginning. This isn't the natural state of man. Man was not created to be this way. Hallelujah. Amen. Because verse 21, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I love that. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Did you catch that? Amen. All have sinned. We are all in the same condition, fallen from where? The glory of God.
Yes,
the scripture says we've fallen from somewhere.
That's
amen.
Right.
Paul's saying it's not right that we should be this way. It's not right. So God sent his sons that we could have righteousness through faith in him. Amen. To bring us back to a condition. Amen. Where we've fallen from. Where have we fallen short of? It's the very glory of God. Amen. Amen. I want to bring that out in the scripture today. You know, you go back to look at how man was created in the beginning. And man, he was God's most glorious creation.
Right.
Amen. God, this is the God who made the galaxies, the suns, and he put things out in space that next to that were so, you are so insignificant in beside it. And yet man was God's most glorious creation. Man was the final work of God. Amen. All through the work of creation, God's working up to create a man. Why? Amen. Why? Because man was created in the image and the likeness of God. That's what the Bible says. In the image and the likeness of God. See, God, a man, Adam, he was a true son of God because he was the very image of God expressed again. Just like when God, you know, God is light. And so when God said, let there be light, and he put light in the heavens so that you could look at it and say, that's light. And God is light, and I can experience light and touch light. But when God made Adam, amen, it was the very image and the likeness of God in Adam. His own nature, his own heart, his own attitude and his spirit and his personality. Amen. He put it in a man. And amen. Male and female created he them both. Amen. So all of us, we had a part there in that original Adam, that original creation. Amen. Because, and see, that was before he took the woman out of his side. Right? So that male and female, he created this Adam, and it was just God expressed.
Right.
Amen. In this man. And that's what Adam was made to be, was to be the very Son of God. And Adam, and being the Son of God, Adam was a God. How many believe that? Adam was a God on earth. That's what the prophet taught. He had dominion. The Bible said he had dominion over all the things of the earth. And now the prophet even said he could speak to a tree and tell it to move here. Amen. And the wind would blow just a little bit the way he didn't like, and he could speak to the wind and it would cease. Because why? He had dominion. He had power. He had glory because he was the Son of God. Amen. Because he was an heir of God, being the Son of God. He came out of the loins of God. And that's all right. He held the book. Amen. Adam had the book. He had the book. He had the book of authority, the book of dominion. Amen. The book of his position. Amen. His rights. Amen. He held that. Amen. And that's what man was created to be. And that's why God, it so pleased him. Amen. It pleased him. Amen. Well, it didn't please him at first because he said it's not good for man to be alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we'll get back to that in a moment. Amen. You all know where I'm going. Hallelujah. He was a God on earth. Amen. But he fell. He fell. Amen. But he had to fall to accomplish God's purpose.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. Amen. So the fall comes and man is robbed of that position. He's robbed of it. He fell. His immortality, his glory, amen, his power and his dominion, he lost that when he fell because of unbelief. Amen.
Right, brother.
He fell. And I believe that deep down man knows that he's fallen. I really believe that deep down, a man and a woman, they know that they're not where they should be. They know that they've fallen from somewhere. They know there's something they've been dispossessed of. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And that's why it's in a man to, you know, that's why I believe it's in man to strive. That's why I believe man's ambitious. Amen. Mankind, he's ambitious. He's always building and striving and working and toiling and trying to elevate himself, to bring himself back up. And what is it that puts that drive in man? See, the beasts of the field aren't like that. The rest of the animals, they aren't that way. They live on instinct. They live on survival. Amen. They eat and they sleep and they die. But there's something in a man that says, I've got to get back up to somewhere. I've fallen from somewhere. There's something that's been robbed from me. There's something that I need. There's a hole in man that he's trying to fill. Amen. There's something in man he's trying to fill, a desire to get back to where he came from. Amen. That's why he strives. That's why it's in man to exalt himself. That's why man is proud. That's why he's haughty. Because he knows that where he is in his lowly state, it's not where he belongs. Amen. I really believe that. And that's why even looking at that, we're living at the height of man's glory. Amen. That civilization has never been higher than it is today. And the technology that we have and the power that an individual has. You know, it used to be that there were groups that had a monopoly on power. Now anybody, you know, you can get out on the internet, you can start to spread your opinion, spread your word, and get a following. And see, the individual, man has so empowered himself. That's what technology does. It makes you more powerful. Amen. That's what he's trying to do. Amen. But despite of all his achievements, I mean, man has not achieved. He's not come to the place that he's longing for.
Right.
Amen. He can't because the Bible says the glory of man now in his fallen state, it's as the flower of grass.
Right.
It fades away. He's a flower quickly fading. He's tossed in the wind. He's just a vapor. Amen. That's all that man is. He can't reclaim his position.
Right.
He just can't get back to it. That's why man has become so discouraged, because even as we've reached this state of man's glory where he's so elevated himself and so empowered himself and civilization has gotten so great, you know, and so glorious, and yet, and people so wealthy, so rich, so powerful, amen, and overdosing, committing suicide, you know, living in depression, just going crazy, amen, losing it because why? Because it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. You know, all the great efforts of civilization have not succeeded in bringing happiness. They've not succeeded in bringing man fulfillment and to give him a purpose for living, to give him a reason. Oh my, there's something in a man that he knows that he's fallen, and he knows there's a hole that he hasn't been able to fill.
Amen.
There's a price that hasn't been paid.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a price, there's an unpaid price, oh my, that man can't atone for it with his own effort,
right.
His own works.
Sure.
Amen. He can't meet the price.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's why we need a kinsman redeemer.
Right.
Amen. Because our glory was stolen before you ever came on the earth. Your glory, there was a glory you had a right to and it was stolen from you. That's why the prophet said you bypassed your theophany. You bypassed your glorified body, your glorified state. You bypassed that because of the fall. You had to come and be born, amen, in this fallen body. And so your glory was stolen from you before you ever came to the earth. And every man is born in that state, dispossessed and robbed of who he's supposed to be. Amen. Man was made to be a king on the earth, and woman was made to be a queen, and they were made to reign, they were made to have dominion. Amen. But it was stolen. It was stolen away. Hallelujah. That's why you're born into sin and shame and shaped in iniquity. You came into the world speaking lies. Amen. Amen. And you know, as much as we try to run from that, people go to church just to try to run from that and make themselves feel like they're more righteous than somebody else just because they sit in a church pew and just because they quote the Bible and have all these traditions and things. But it doesn't matter where you are, or what state you find you're in, what you associate with. You're fallen. You're born fallen. Amen. You're born into sin. You need a new birth. Amen. You've got to come to an experience with God where there's a way provided. See, that He paid a price that we could never pay. Amen. He came. He was a kinsman redeemer. Amen. Because it was Adam that fell, and Adam was a man, even though he was created in the image and the likeness of God, but he fell. Amen. And the only way that we could ever come back to where Adam was, amen, is if the price, if another Adam were to come, amen, and he would give his life, amen, in place of Adam, a perfect lamb, amen, a perfect sacrifice, amen. Then he would make the way that we could come back to our glory. Amen. He didn't come and die so that you could come to a church and hear the good news about Jesus and get some good thoughts. Amen. And read some quote books and devotion books. But he came. Amen. And he took your place. He took all of your sin and your unrighteousness upon himself. Amen. And he died. The perfect lamb died so that we could come back into our inheritance, back into where we were meant to be. Amen. So he didn't come to rehabilitate you. He didn't come, and die to make you a better person. Amen. To make you more religious, but to change you fundamentally who you are. Change the very fallen state of your soul. He came to take your place. Hallelujah. A kinsman redeemer. He was a kinsman redeemer. Amen. That's why God had to be a man. That's why the word had to become flesh. Amen. And it was, it was God himself came and he pitched his tent with us. Amen. And it was the blood of God that was shed for us. Hallelujah. Because he couldn't leave us that way. Amen. God could not leave us in our fallen state because his sons and daughters, what was Adam? Before Adam came on the earth, he was a mystery hidden up in that Godhead. Amen. He had a name, he had a nature, but he was hidden up in the Godhead until he said, let there be an Adam. And he formed him a body from the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. But see, Adam was a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And there were more out there. Amen. There were more attributes of God that were lost because of that fall. And when they came, they bypassed their theophany. They fell from their state. And God says, I can't leave them that way. Amen. I can't let one seed of my loins. I can't let one piece of my heart go missing. Amen. So that's why it didn't matter where we strayed and where we went. Amen. Because if you're a son or a daughter of God, God has come. Oh my, I can just see God just running down through the pages of history to get every last one. Amen. To redeem them, to restore them to what they were meant to be. Amen. Because he couldn't leave us that way because, one piece of God missing, he'd no longer be perfect. He'd no longer be God. He would no longer be God without you and I. Hallelujah. Because we're part of God. We're part of his life. Hallelujah. But you need a new birth to restore you to that position.
Absolutely.
The only way to regain our glory, amen, was for another Adam to take our place.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because of the Son of God, now we are sons of God and
amen.
Daughters of God.
You,
he
Lord.
Was the Son of God, so now I'm a son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. My, just to think of it, how God never missed a beat. Amen. He, no surprise on him, but he knew just the time and the hour that he would come find me and he'd take me back to his side. Amen. Every son and daughter. My, your grandfather's 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 grandfather, he was escorted by angels through the streets, lest he would trip on a stone and come to an untimely end, because the seed line couldn't be broken, because you had to come on the earth, so that God could find you there at an appointed time, at an appointed place, amen, to restore you, amen, to your position in Him, to bring you back and make you part of Him again. Hallelujah. Oh my, that's our God. Hallelujah. Now we are sons of God. The Bible says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now. All right, let's go to Romans 8. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Let me change this reading here. Let's go to verse 14 in Romans 8. Talk about the sons of God and the daughters of God a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we've been restored to something.
That's right.
Amen. We've been restored to something. God didn't die for your sins just so, you know, we're not just sinners saved by grace. There's more to the story. There's more to the story. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Because we're the sons of God and the daughters of God. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Hallelujah.
My.
Thank you, Lord.
And if children, amen. Oh my, and here's what the denomination, the church world, they just seem to miss this. If you're a child, then you're an heir.
Amen.
An heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, amen, we may also be glorified together.
Yes, Lord.
We may be glorified together. See, you're a joint heir with Christ. That means you share His glory. Amen. We got to share His suffering, but we share His glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The same glory. Oh my. You know, the Old Testament says that God will not share His glory with another. Amen. He will not share His glory with anybody else. Amen. He doesn't just give it to anybody. So the only way, the only hope of glory that we could have, Brother Andrew, is Christ in you. Amen. Because when you become one with Him in His Spirit, when you become married to Christ, amen, and the two become one, amen, then you are part of Him. You are a God, amen. You are a son and a daughter of God. You're one with Him, and then His glory is your glory, and His righteousness, His holiness is your holiness. You're a holy and sanctified temple. My, even in your fallen state, even in other words, this flesh, this fallen temple, this corrupt flesh, amen, this filthy old thing, but God is so desirous to bring His sons and daughters back to Himself. He'll even put up with this corrupt temple, amen, and He'll make it His dwelling place. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's sanctified by His own holiness and His own righteousness, and we're one with Him. Hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ. And that's why Paul says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. Amen. The glory which shall be revealed in us. What suffering, what persecution, let them make fun of us, let them criticize what we believe in. Amen. How could any of us be compared with this? The glory of God revealed in us. Yes. Amen. Joiners with Christ, sons and daughters, the offspring of Jehovah.
Yes.
Oh my. Amen. Because the earnest expectation of creation, it's waiting, it's groaning for the manifestation of sons and daughters of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, the whole world, it's groaning for this. That's what they're groaning for. That's what man is groaning for, and the world is groaning. That's why the world's being torn apart with earthquakes and floods and tsunamis and all these great disasters. It's all just the world just shaking and groaning, saying, we're ready. Amen. We're ready for this time when the sons of God will be manifested and when God, by His Spirit, will become one with His people. Amen. And they'll be restored, mankind restored, amen, to the stature of a perfect man. Amen. Joint heirs and sharing the glory of God, the offspring of Jehovah. Oh my. And then verse 28. That's why we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose, to them that love God. Amen. It all works out together for good. Let whatever come. Whatever comes, comes. We don't preach a prosperity gospel that you're going to have a new car and a new job and everything's going to go great and you're never going to be sad, never going to have problems. Amen. But what we're saying is let whatever problems come, amen, whatever storms may come, let this be your peace. Let this be your joy. None of it can even shake you, because if you just get this revelation that you know who you are and you know that the day that you're living in, amen, the day of the manifestation of the sons of God, it all works for good. Amen. It doesn't matter how we suffer. Let them mock you. Let them crucify you. Whatever. Oh, even if you have to give your life. Amen. There's a glory. Amen. There's a glory that we're an heir to that makes it all worth it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. My. Like we said, your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather was guarded. Amen. Amen. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son.
Yes, Lord.
He was the Son of God, and we're conformed into the image of a Son of God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Oh my. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
The Bible says the firstborn, He's the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. This Son of God.
Yes, sir.
My, that's a lot different than the Jesus that the world teaches, how He was a good man and a perfect man. And if we all could just try to be a little more like Him, we'd be better people. We'd be happier people. Oh my, but it goes so far beyond that, because God says, by my Spirit, amen, I'll put His own, the very Spirit of that Christ in you until you're just as much a son as He was a son.
Amen.
Oh my. Except He was the fullness and we have it in a measure. Amen.
Sure.
Amen. We don't want to, you know, we don't put ourselves on a level with Christ. Amen. Except God made us joint heirs. Hallelujah.
Right.
Through His righteousness and not ours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So He says He's the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, He was the beginning of the creation of God.
That's right.
He was the beginning. He was a beginning of a new creation. Now, a lot of people take that scripture, like I believe it's the Mormons and different churches, and they say, well, it was way back in the beginning that God created the Word, and then the Word created everything else. So He was the Word that was the beginning of the creation. No. Brother, the prophet came and he revealed it correctly, that He was the firstborn of a new creation. He's doing a new work on the earth. Amen. That by His Spirit we can be born again into a new creation, back into perfection, back into Eden. Hallelujah. Amen. And by His Word, by His Spirit becoming one and anointing His revealed Word, coming back. Amen. To that capstone, to that perfection, the stature
Amen.
Of a perfect man, coming back to our glory.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Coming back to our glory. So, them that He predestinated, He called. Them He called, He justified. And whom He justified, them He, them said, He's already glorified.
That's right.
He has already, here it is, here's our hope of glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh my. Brother Branham said, God at the beginning, He predestinated us unto eternal life. At the beginning. How He would send Jesus, and through this sacrifice, we'd all have a right to the tree of life.
Amen.
Those who He foreknew, He called. Those who He called, He's already justified. And those who He justified, He has already glorified. God, since the beginning of the world, predestinated us, had it in His mind before the foundation of the world, that we would be the sons of God, predestinate us to the adoption of sons. Now the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's the day that we're living in. He says, He said that He has made known unto us the mystery. He said, get the Holy Spirit on you sometime and start running that and just see where it goes.
That's right.
Hallelujah. He said the word, that scripture, it packed me back into the Old Testament and then back into the New Testament, and it tied something together.
Yes, Lord.
He said, you see the mystery of His coming. Oh my. The mystery of His will, the mystery of us sitting together.
Yes, Lord.
He says, remember, it can't be taught in any seminary. It's a mystery. You can't know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world, waiting for this time, this special time, this special time, a specific and preordained time of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but there's coming a day when those sons of God will be manifested. In other words, God will take those sons of God and He'll put a life in them, He'll put works in them, He'll put power in them, He'll put glory in them that will prove, it'll vindicate that they're the sons of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when that day happens, it's going to be so much greater than the churches and the messengers and all the things that have come before. Because when the sons of God are manifested in this adoption age, then we've come to a place. Now we've come to a place where man is not just, oh my, it's not just an idea, it's not just a potential in man, but he's truly manifesting the glory of God that he was born with a right to. Oh my.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. He says, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He says, tell me, my brother, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? This time now. When was there ever a time in history to manifest this time to deliver all of nature? Amen. Nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, all the Old Testament on down there couldn't have been manifestations. It had to wait until this time.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's the day that we're living in.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Until this time, now all the things have been brought, coming, shaping up to the manifestation of sons of God coming back and the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly. My. Until now listen, he said, here's the time. The Spirit of God coming into these men. And this is men, women, this is God's sons and daughters.
Right.
He says, so perfectly until their ministry, now it's not just ministers, it's not just preachers and pastors, he said, but the bride, the church, their ministry will be so close like Christ's,
right,
till it'll join him and his church together.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, it'll join him in it. When they become one, when Christ, who is our head, shall appear, we shall be like him.
Right.
Amen. There's a unity going on. Amen. Brother Branham said, when that head appears in the sky, then there's going to be a body on the earth, and that the nature, the spirit in that body will be just so much like the spirit in that head. In that head, he says, it'll have to go up with him. Amen. It'll have to be caught up with him because it belongs with that head. And we're living in that day by the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Amen. By the Holy Ghost manifesting the Spirit, the nature of Christ in you. Christ in you. It's your hope of glory. Amen. Because when we come to that day when it's finally manifested, then God and Christ, Christ and His bride will become one and we'll be caught up to meet Him. It's rapture time. But before rapture, amen, is adoption. It's manifestation. And that's the day that we're living in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And it's so simple. You might miss it if you aren't careful. Oh my, we have a hope of glory. But it's not an earthly glory. It's not the glory of mankind. I was thinking about Genghis Khan. He was a great Mongol leader, you know, a king. He was some little tribal boy in Mongolia, but he built an empire. He gathered an army to himself I can just see him, you know, riding at the head of his army, the Mongol horde, just thousands of them. And from Germany to China, the whole known world at that time, Germany to China, the kings of the earth bowed at his feet. They were all afraid. They all, through fear, he controlled it from Germany to China. And he had such a grip of power on it. So, you know, how glorious his reign was. And they said a young girl, she could walk from, I believe it was, the Middle East all the way to China through his roads because they were and totally safe. She was just totally unattended because of how the power that he had, the control that he had. In that time, that's how great he was. That's how glorious he was, a king of the earth. But all the kings and the conquerors of earth, all the great men and the great women that we've had, all their earthly glory, all their riches, all their power, amen, all of it, it doesn't matter what they achieved in their life. They're laying in the grave tonight. Amen. In the grave this morning, there's something, but see, there's a people, amen, that they aren't worried about earthly glory, amen. They aren't out to just make a name for themselves and get a reputation and gather a bunch of riches and glory. Oh my, if life is all about going to school and going to work and getting a wife and a kids and a dog and living 70, 80 years and going into the grave, what's the point? What's the purpose? Amen. But there's a people. They're not out for earthly glory. Amen. But they know there's a glory they've been robbed of. They feel it in their soul that there's something that belongs to them. Amen. Even if they don't feel worthy, even if they don't feel, even if Satan's got them so condemned. Amen. But there's a word that'll strike your heart to say, this belongs to you. There's a glory for you. Amen. Beyond this mortal coil.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory of a son of God. You want to see the glory of a son of God? Let's look at the Son of God.
Amen.
And I'll just read it to you in John chapter 1. You can just listen here. That Son of God, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's the way He came. He did it on purpose. He was the one who made the world, but when He came into the world, He came so simple, they didn't even know Him.
Right.
Amen?
Exactly.
He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. My, they missed Him. Why? Because of the way that He came, because of how simple He came.
Yes,
but as many received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
That's authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name,
Amen.
Which were born not of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, even though the world missed Him, even though His own missed Him, He says, we beheld His glory.
That's right. Yes,
the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Yes, Lord.
Full of grace and truth.
Amen.
Amen. John bare witness of Him, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, before as He was before me. He said, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace.
Amen.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now here's the glory. He said, no man hath seen God at any time.
Right.
This invisible Godhead, right? Nobody's ever seen Him before John. Amen. Nobody's ever seen Him before. Nobody's been able to touch this God and talk to this God and understand Him and see Him and interact with Him. Amen. Because He great invisible God. Amen.
Right.
But He says, the only begotten Son,
yep.
Here's the glory, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him.
Amen.
He hath declared Him. And that was the glory of Christ. Christ, the glory that He could have come any way He wanted. He could have just come into the temple, and He would have been a great warrior, a great prince with shining robes, and He could have ripped open that temple veil and said, I've arrived. Let's overthrow the Roman rule. Let's put all the kingdoms under my feet. But He came, and He was born in a manger on a heap of manure. Amen. That's the way. And He did it on purpose. He came simple. He came so that the world missed Him. But His chosen ones, His sons and His daughters, amen, when they came in contact with that Holy Spirit, amen, there was something about it that moved them. Amen. It pulled on them. It pulled on you. Amen. Because there was a seed in you that came out of the same, it came out of the same Godhead as He did. Amen. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but there's a part of that Godhead in you by predestination. Amen. And when this word comes, when this message was preached, amen, you and I, we heard our eagle scream.
Yes,
amen. It said, come on home, come out of the chicken yard. Amen. You're not made to peck around down there with those people, but there's a glory for you. There's something higher for you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus said, Father, glorify Thy name. In me, he glorified His name in Christ, His Spirit. We preached that here before. He glorified Himself in Christ. Amen. And the Father said, I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again.
Right.
I will glorify it again. There's another work of glorification, and it comes
right.
In the age of adoption, in the age of the manifestation of sons and daughters of God.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Amen. And that's the day that we're living in.
Amen.
That's our hope of glory. It's the mystery that's been hidden through the ages, and the prophets long to see it. Amen. But you Gentiles, amen, you have this hope of glory. Oh my. He said, Christ, His glory, it was to, this glory of a son of God is to declare the life of His Father. See, what an earthly son. Brother Andrew, your son, he's, you know, when we look at him, you see the nature of his Father. Right, you see the character of his Father and the attributes and the appearance of his Father, because the Father is glorified in the Son, right? His legacy, his glory is carried on through his Son, amen. And that's why a son and daughter of God, it's the same way. I mean, in this the Son of God, it was his glory, his purpose, what made him so amazing, so just incredible to experience. It wasn't his physique, wasn't the eloquence of his word. Brother Branham said he was a stoop-shouldered little man. Amen. Right. Had no beauty that we should desire him.
That's right.
Amen. But see, just like Adam was made in the image of God, we're made in the image of the God by our new birth, and we declare the life of the Father. Yes, we manifest Lord. The life of the Father. And see, that's not all about just, that's not all about walking on water and emptying out hospitals and all those things. But there is a power in the bride. Amen. There's a power in God's people. Amen. But what it's really about is just that nature, that divine love.
Yes, Lord.
God is love. And that divine love. Oh my. And that's so simple. That's so sweet. The world will miss it. Amen.
Right.
But his children can never miss it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. They're predestinated. Amen. His glory was to declare the life of the Father. And we, the offspring of Jehovah, carry the same life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We are Abraham's seed. Amen. Where he was the royal seed, but we're Abraham's seed.
Right.
We're joint heirs with the royal seed. Amen. Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. We're a new race, a new creation. Kings and priests.
Amen.
Now,
yeah.
Brother Bram said, now we're reigning over a spiritual kingdom, right? You're a priest now. You're a priest. You know what a priest is? It's a bridge to God.
Right.
The Spirit of God. See, the world comes to a priest to experience God. Amen. That's what we are. We're priests. Amen. But we're not like those old Levite priesthood, And oh my, are you in a hurry today?
No.
All right. So that old Levite priesthood, back in the Old Testament, if you ever read about them, they were just to be one of those Levites. That was the greatest honor. It was just the greatest thing that you could ever. Because, just being born in the tribe of Levi didn't make you one of those Levitical priesthood. Because, see, they were chosen and they had to be totally spotless. I tell you, no Erickson could have ever been a Levite priest because, they had to be fair looking. They had to be perfect in body. They couldn't have any deformities, any impurities, anything. They were just glorious, beautiful to look on. They were, they had to just be in perfect shape and everything. Because it was and the reason was it had to be such an honorable and glorious and holy thing to be one of those priests. Oh, but this priesthood, amen, it's oddballs and misfits, and God came and he took sinners and people with people without pedigrees and people without education, and he brought them together into a new creation, and whatever you were before, it doesn't matter, because now you're a king, and now you're a priest, amen, and we've been made a part of the Melchizedek priesthood.
Amen.
Paul said that the Levite priesthood, it's passed away. That Aaronic priesthood, it passed away. And now, see, it's a Melchizedek priesthood. It's Christ is the high priest. He's a high priest that's touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but he's our high priest. Yet you and I, we're priests. That's what the scripture says. There's a glory. There's an honor. There's a position for a son and a daughter of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And our high priest, he's the King of Kings.
Amen.
And he's the Lord of Lords. You ever think about that? Amen. Kings and Lords. That's who his people are because he's the King of Kings. He's not the world's king. They've rejected him. He was their king, but now he's a rejected king. But you and I, we're kings and queens. And he's our king, the King of Kings. Oh my. And it's such an honor. There's such a glory in it. It makes the rest of his life just so insignificant, all the sufferings we have to go through. The greatest kings and conquerors of this world, they don't compare to a son and daughter of God. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Amen. I'd rather be washed in his blood. I'd rather be a vessel of his holiness and his righteousness, his purity, than be anything else in the world. Amen. It's the only thing that gives a man and a woman purpose and a reason for living and a glory. And it's the only thing that can make you look at yourself and look at your state, not the state of your flesh, but the state of your soul, and be satisfied.
Amen.
He is the ultimate satisfaction because he's restored us to the position that man was created to be in Eden. Amen. We've gone, oh my, and you know, the Pentecostals say, oh, we've gone back to Acts 2:38. Oh, but this bride, she's gone back to Genesis 1. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my. In the beginning was God. Amen. Amen. And in the beginning, you and I, before the foundation of the world, we were right there with Him. Amen. Because your life of His life. Amen. Oh my, more than 25 years ago, you could have looked at my father, and I was there. I was there. Amen. But I was a mystery. Amen. In my father. Amen. But that life was there, and now it's here manifested. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. See, but just like Christ, our glory, it's hidden behind a veil of humanity and humility and simplicity, and the world will miss it. Amen. But we're going to glory in it because it's our hope of glory. And the world rejected Christ. They're going to reject you too. They're going to. You know, because we're bearers of that old rugged cross. That old rugged cross. And oh my, you're not in a hurry still, are you? All right, let's go on this. Amen. I was just thinking about we were at a wedding a month or two ago, and one of my little cousins was sitting next to me. It was at Brother Craig Boer's church, and you know, they got the cross over on the side there. And she goes, is that the same cross that Jesus died on? I look, you know, simplicity of a child is beautiful. And I just said, no, that wasn't that one, but it was like that one. You know, because it wasn't real. The world, the churches, they've taken that cross and they've covered it with gold and put it on the top of cathedrals. And they made it a glorious and a beautiful and just a glamorous thing. Right. They've taken the cross and tried to make it, see, the cross is not an object of beauty. It's suffering and it's shame, amen, and it's guilt and it's sin. It's a criminal's cross, amen, amen. And see, it doesn't matter how you pretty it up and how you build a church around and try to pretty it up. It's sin and shame and guilt. And see, the world rejects it. The world despises it. But the Bible says you've got to take up your cross. You've got to take up your cross. And see, to follow after this glory, we've got to separate from a lot of things. You know, and some of it we've got to put off, and some of it they separate from us, you know, and there's just a rejection that goes with it. There's a suffering that goes with it. Oh my, but Paul said, how could any suffering compare? He says, I reckon there's no suffering that can compare to the glory revealed in us. Amen. It's worth it, my friends, my brother, my sister. It's worth a little bit of mocking. It's worth a little bit of laughing. Amen. It's worth sticking out at school. It's worth people at Walmart turning and looking at your hair and your dress and things. It's worth all of that. Amen. Just to be a Christian, just to be a recipient of this glory that's given freely to sons and daughters. Amen. Amen. We've got to, oh my, like the old song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Sure, I must fight if I must reign. Amen. There's a reproach. Amen. But the Bible says, know you not that we shall judge angels? We shall judge angels. Amen. Oh my, and that's why I think people, oh, I think the problem that people have most of the time is they just can't get into that eternal mindset and look beyond the other side. Amen. You know, and that's why people, they're looking at the circumstances around them and they're just looking at what's in front of them, the people that are around them, and so they bicker and they fight and they tear each other down and they gossip. Amen. And they're shallow and they're petty and all these things. I'm talking about small people with small understanding. Amen. And blindness and they, oh my, and just wretched the state that they're in. But if you could ever get a revelation of eternity and a revelation that you came from eternity and you're going back to eternity and you could look at life through an eternal mindset. What does it matter if somebody says something that you don't quite agree with? What does it matter that they look at you the wrong way or rub you the wrong way? All these things, they're petty and they're small and they're insignificant compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. There's nothing in the world that's worth, amen, your worry and your strife. There's nothing out there that's worth it. Oh my, in the face of this glory.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Just a little while we suffer. Just a little longer. Just a little longer. Not long. Amen. Just a little bit. You gotta suffer. You gotta be persecuted. You gotta, You know, Satan will get in family members. He'll get your friends and things, and he'll try to get in there, try to just tear you down, discourage you. It's not worth your time. It's not worth the effort. Amen. Amen. Because just a little while longer. Amen. And there shall be glory. There shall be glory. Amen. We've just got a little to withstand. We've got to overcome. And the biblical overcome is we just got to withstand. You just got to endure a little more. Amen. Amen. It's not that we got to go and tear all the walls down. Amen. But just get in that promised land. Amen. Get inside those landmarks of the revealed word. Just get in there. Amen. And just withstand. Amen. Just endure a little more. Amen. Just overcome a little more. And there will be glory for us. Amen. There will be glory for you and me, my brother and my sister. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh will I give to eat of hidden manna and a white stone with a new name written.
Yes, Lord.
He that overcometh will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Yes. I will give him the morning star. Amen. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name from the book. I will confess it before my Father and his angels.
Amen.
Amen. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Amen.
Oh my. See, we look at ourselves with eyes of flesh, and we can't see the glory that's already in us. Amen. We need to look to Christ. Look to Christ.
Yes,
and you know what? When you look to Christ, you look to this word, look to the glory that we're promised. You know, you won't walk around with your head hung low. Amen. You won't be discouraged. You won't worry. You won't be dismayed. It won't matter what happens to you. You'll be solid. You'll be like a rock. There'll be nothing that can withstand you. You'll just keep on marching on. Amen. Because this glory, that's why the Bible says, he's my glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. I'm not a real important man, not a real smart man, not a real rich man. Amen. But I can walk with my head, amen, held high, because he's the lifter of my head. Amen. And I know because he became my kinsman redeemer. Amen. Because he died for me. Now I'm a son. Now I'm a king. Amen. And I'm not from this world. I'm not part of all its pettiness and its squabbles. Amen. But oh my, I'm a child of the king. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. I'm just wayfaring here a little while. Just making the journey on this mortal coil just a little longer, and there'll be glory for me. Amen. Just a little bit longer. Hallelujah. Amen. I think sometimes about my little wife and how I love her, you know, and things. I want to give her everything that I can. But you know, she'll never have, while she's married to me, she's never going to have a palace. She's never going to have riches. And she's never going to have all these things. But you know, on the other side, she'll be in a throne by my side. And she'll rule and reign with me, with Christ. Because that's what the Bible promised us. Amen. Amen. And I just believe it. Amen. I have the audacity to believe, amen, that just a stuck up little city boy from Michigan, amen, can rule with Christ. I'm just dumb enough to believe it. Hallelujah. Oh my. That's the type that God takes. He takes people without a pedigree or any kind of a background. He takes drugs and hookers and he takes people off the street and criminals and thieves and murderers. Amen. And he turns them into kings and princes and queens. That's just the type of God that he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My people were just, they're all just corn growing, whiskey drinking Lutherans. That's all they were. Amen. And you know, if God hadn't come to my grandfather and called him out of that place, just like he called Abraham out of Ur, oh my, where would I be? Amen. But see, God knew before I ever walked this earth. God knew. Amen. And he had a way prepared that I could come back to my inheritance.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I love a God like that.
Yes, Father.
Amen. He's the lifter of my head. Oh, I don't have to feel small and insignificant. I don't have to be condemned. I don't have to feel guilty. Amen. I don't have to feel, I don't have to feel low because, amen. Amen. Those of us that were humble, he exalted.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We were so low. Amen. We've been brought so high. From Romans 1 to Romans 8. Praise the Lord. It's not arrogance to act like the king and the queen that you are. Just like Brother Brown talked about the slave boy. Amen. And he was just a slave. And if you looked at his circumstances, he wasn't nothing. Amen. But he held his head high. Why? Because, amen, where he came from, he was the son of a king. And he knew who he was. And that's even me, my brother, my sister. We gotta suffer a little while. We gotta work a little while. We're slaves to this world system. But one day we'll be pilgrims no more. Amen. But we'll go up to meet him in the air.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it's not very long.
That's right.
It's not very long.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we have a hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen. It's our birthright. By the new birth, it's our birthright.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. That's why I just say, Lord, let me win some crowns while I'm here. Let me win some victories. Let me win some battles. So when I get to the other side, I'll have a crown to lay at your feet.
Yes,
just give me some crowns that I can lay at his feet.
Amen.
Let me give him the glory. Amen. Because he was the kinsman redeemer. It was his righteousness that I was able to take part of. Amen. It's his glory. It's his greatness.
Amen.
Amen. But we've been made joint heirs by his grace. So praise the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The only begotten Son. Amen. The firstborn among many brethren.
Hallelujah.
Let's give Him glory. Let's all stand and just worship Him. Praise the Lord. Do you love Him?
Yes, Father.
I just love Him because He first loved me. Hallelujah. We've sing that song, We'll Give Him All the Glory. I like that song.
We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory.
His presence, or you'll never see Him. But the Spirit of God is here right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Revelation of the Son of Man walking in your midst, showing Himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that knows every thought and intent of your heart that's here right now. That God is not 2 feet from me. Hallelujah. You're part of that same God. Thank you, Jesus. Yield yourself to the Spirit now. Let's just pray. Pray before Him. I'm not asking a group thing. This is between you and the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. What a time. presence right here. All things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be in a hurry. I'm not a fanatic. He's waiting on you, brother, sister. The move is on the bride. That's thus saith the Lord. Quit putting it on someone else. The Holy Spirit is wanting to use you. Don't be afraid, child of God. Let Him use you. You see that bride without spot or wrinkle, walking adorned with all nine spiritual gifts, with the love of the Lord all around her. Quit being afraid. Let God use you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fear not. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid of this that you're feeling right here. This is what we want. Maybe not shouting and screaming and running the aisles, but the power of God is in this place. Are you sick today? Hallelujah. Do you say, God, speak to me today? It ain't God not speaking. It's you not listening. It's you looking for some lightning bolt to come down when He's right here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thus saith the Lord, Thou, my son, I see the path before thee, and I tell thee I have paved the way with my own blood. I have made provision for you. Would thou step forward and have faith and follow my lead? I see thy fears. I see thy temptations. But I tell thee I am with you all the way to the end. I have foreordained your steps. I will be there every part of the way. Canst thou believe my word today that I have sent thee for this purpose in this day? Do not be afraid as thou hast been before, but go forward, press for my kingdom. Let me use you as never before, and thou shalt see my glory. Thou shalt see the praise you desire. Thus saith the Almighty God. Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Believe God's words for each one. Jesus. give me liberty to say a few names that that was for. I pray I found favor in your sight, but that's for Brother Kent, Brother Zach, Brother Ronnie back there. He told me these three specifically. There's probably others too, but he'd let me. Maybe you needed to hear that. Saying you can't take that for yourself, brother, sister. It's just maybe they need a little encouragement. The Holy Spirit's here, though. You're looking for something way off there. I'm telling you, it's right here, right now. This is the God we've waited for. Lift up your voices to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just telling you to worship. You don't have the duty. Just praise His name. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Father. Lift you up on high, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, to God be the glory. The glory to God be the glory to God be the glory and for the things He has done with His power. Saved me with His power. He has raised.